Last week, Tennessee Titans bid farewell to four veterans. This week, staff members and coaches are in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, starting to try to identify guys they think can be future Titans. Plus, one member of the coaching staff who recently was demoted has decided to move on now. A busy last 7, 8, 9 days for the Tennessee Titans here early in the offseason, and we will look at as many of those things as possible on this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with John Glennon. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great here. And Denard Walker, former Titans cornerback. Denard, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great this evening. How you doing, David?
Doing great. Doing great. And just to give the quick synopsis here, left tackle Taylor Lewan, wide receiver Robert Woods, kicker Randy Bullock, inside linebacker Zach Cunningham, all released to create some space in the salary cap, which we knew those types of moves were coming. We will look at them more closely. Luke Steckel, who had gone from tight ends coach to passing game analyst, is now moving on to a job with the Chicago Bears, and Mike Vrabel has said that he will fill that position. It wasn't apparently just a spot to get Luke Steckel through a contract. It is something I guess he wants on his staff. So there's that. Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthen, Tim Kelly have all met the media up in Indianapolis, talked about the quarterback position, among other things. So we will talk about those things too. But before we do, let me remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. And Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And where we start is with, I guess, where you always have to start in when you're talking football, with the quarterback position. And Rand Carthen says, and I quote, of Ryan Tannehill, "He is under contract, and I'm excited about moving forward with him. I know everybody wants to make a big deal out of the quarterback position and whether he will or won't be here. But you guys just have to accept the fact that Ryan is under contract for us. And right now he is a Titan, and he will be a Titan." So, John Glennon, how definitive an answer is that for you? Should we all start weighing whether Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill is worth drafting in fantasy football this year?
Yeah, I would give it a mildly definitive. I would have to say I still, you know, you still don't hear that you know, absolutely definitive. Yeah, Ryan's our guy. He's our man. We're moving forward. You know, there's no need to talk about this subject anymore. There's always a little bit of waffling on there, a little bit of parsing of words and so forth. Yeah, he's our guy. He's under contract. We like him moving forward. And you're kind of thinking, okay, forward until, you know, it's less than absolutely definitive. Still, I do think Carthen, generally you look at his comments, and I thought they were pretty pro Ryan Tannehill, pretty positive in that regard. But what I thought was interesting too, of course, Mike Vrabel, as you mentioned, is up there at the combine as well. And when he was kind of asked, he was asked the question about adding a quarterback in the draft, and he said, "I'm going to say this for every player: I'm open to adding great players to our roster, whether that's a quarterback, running back, D-line, cornerback. I do believe we have some needs and holes. And he kind of finished that statement by saying, so we're looking for O linemen that can protect the quarterback, whether that's Ryan, Malik, Josh Dobbs, whoever else that might end up being. So and this came like, within a few minutes of Rand Carthen, kind of giving what seemed to be a pro Ryan Tannehill statement. So yeah, I wouldn't set him up on your fantasy draft tab just quite yet. I still think there are situations that need to be looked at. Rand Carthen said they hadn't approached Ryan Tannehill's agent about potentially restructuring a contract, and he didn't want to get into that at all. But there's still a significant amount of gray is where I would say at this point.
Yeah, the way I look at it is they don't plan to cut him, but they're certainly open to trading him, I think, is the way I interpret that. If you kind of try and cut through some of the nonsense there, and the line that always gets me is he's under contract, like that, like that is the great qualifier for all GMs. I remember asking John Robinson early in an offseason 1 year about another quarterback, Zach Mettenberger, and got the, he's under contract, he's part of this team right now, we'll see what happens. And the next day, Zach Mettenberger got cut, so GMs don't like to tip their hands, and understandably so, but I agree. I don't think that it's a lock. But Denard, let me ask you this, by this point in the offseason, Ryan Tannehill has probably, I mean, has he or hasn't he had conversations with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthen? And while we sit here and debate these sort of things, how certain is Ryan Tannehill about where he stands with this team right now, do you think?
I don't think there's no one player that is certain that they will be back next year, to be honest with you. That's just how it works. Every year, there is a turnover in the way the team will look. And of course, it's always going to be about the quarterback, but I truly believe he will be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year. What, he has 1 year left on this deal?
Correct.
So if they have 1 year left, I mean, do you feel strongly enough? And I know we'll talk about this later, but do you feel like there's a quarterback in free agency right now that you can bring in to challenge him for the starting spot? Or do you feel like right now you can go draft up high, take a player, like we're going to talk about later, you talk about taking someone like Bryce Young, and do you think that Bryce Young will come in right away and be ready to play? There's a lot of holes right now with this team, of course. You think about the offensive line. But to me, the one consistent what was consistent last year was the play of Ryan Tannehill. I thought he had a great season last year. We didn't talk about the turnovers like we did year prior. I mean, you think about it. What did he have last year? 13. Was it 13 touchdowns and 6 interceptions before he got injured? And a lot of that came on the play of the offensive line that was decimated by injury. So, again, I think he will be the starting quarterback. And not to mention, I mean, when your general manager comes out and says, hey, listen, he's excited that and I love what Rand Carthon said about Ron. He says he's done a great job, and he stated he's excited about moving on with him. If that doesn't get me a vote of confidence, Davis, I don't know what does.
Yeah, the free agent market, I guess, remains to be seen at this point. We've seen the last couple of years, there's a lot more moving parts to the quarterback market than there used to be, and certainly this year's draft is an interesting one, and with the Titans sitting at number 11, they are certainly within reach of one or two of those top quarterbacks, I would think, if that's the kind of move they want to make. Rand Carthen gave it the old we're open for business, meaning he's willing to entertain trade offers for the number 11 pick. Denard, you said it. There are, and Mike Vrabel said it, there are holes in this roster that need addressing. Should the Titans even be thinking about a quarterback somewhere in this draft, let alone with their first round pick, or should they just be looking elsewhere with the draft at this point?
Well, he said in a statement that he was open to adding. He said it And he says, and I love John, I'm just piggybacking off of you. He said that that he's open to adding great players to the roster, whether it's at the quarterback, running back, defensive line. That means he's looking to get better. So anything can happen between now and draft day. But yeah, I just, again, I'm going to stand by what I said earlier. I just believe that he will be the starting quarterback in 2023.
Well, and the one thing we know about Mike Vrabel is that Mike Vrabel likes familiarity, right? We've talked about it over and over again. The decision to promote Tim Kelly after he had promoted Todd Downing to that job, after he had promoted Arthur Smith to that job, all the guys with Houston ties he has brought to this staff and to this locker room. And I would think familiarity at the most important position on the football field is probably something that he would like and he would value and would feel good about for as long as he can have that in place. And you know, Ryan Tannehill has won games for Mike Vrabel. I think, you know, it's safe to say that, and he probably feels good about that too. But there's, John, I'll ask you, there's even a sentiment out there though, that the Titans should get really bold, trade all the way up to number one for Mike Vrabel for Bryce Young. Is that even attainable? And what do you think the Titans are more likely to do if they move off 11? Are they moving into the top 10, or are they dropping back and adding picks, do you think?
Yeah, it makes for great fodder, certainly. I thought our comrade and friend Joe Rixrode over at The Athletic had an entertaining column today, kind of taking a look at whether the Titans should move up. He kind of feels like they should go for the whole ball of wax and move all the way up to number one and take Bryce Young there. And there are certainly some reasons to think that should be done. I mean, if you think that guy is your franchise quarterback and he can be your franchise quarterback for a decade, anytime that's a possibility, it certainly needs to be looked at closely. Two, you would also be, if you went that route, you'd be bypassing both Houston at number two and Indianapolis at number four, two AFC South rivals that obviously are looking for their own franchise quarterbacks, so getting a leg up on them that way. And this year, you're at number 11 right now. And that's as close as the Titans have been, to number one in a while. So you're not moving up as far. You're not giving up as much to move up to number one if you wanted to do that. Now, again, Joe was just lobbing out a theory here and kind of having some fun, I think. But he proposed in moving up. Giving up, obviously, the Titans would flip-flop or would give up their number one pick. They would also give up a second-round pick. They would give up a first-round pick in 2024. And here's the kicker, in his mind anyway, they would also give up Jeffrey Simmons in this deal too. So, I'm not quite certain that the Titans fans would be on board with anything involving giving up Jeffrey Simmons. That seems a bridge too far, although obviously you need to give up a lot to move up to number one. But honestly, if I look at the way I think things will go on day one for the Titans, if I had to put a buck on it, I would say the Titans are more likely to move back than move up to number one. And one of the main reasons, I think, is there's a number of holes, and we've talked about that on this team. There's holes at wide receiver. Big holes on the offensive line, where you might be filling four starting positions with new players from last year. You look at inside linebacker. If David Long moves, that's another hole. You probably need another cornerback as well. And you've only got six draft picks right now. So, I think if the Titans move back a little bit, add two, three picks, I think they'd be in better shape overall than they would. I think that's more likely the direction they will go. But there's always that temptation. If there's a guy at number one who you think you're absolutely convinced is your guy, hey, do what it takes if you're only moving up 10 spots this year.
I think if Rand Carthen traded Jeffrey Simmons a year after year after John Robinson traded AJ Brown, Mike Vrabel's head would explode. You know, I mean, it was, you know, Vrabel, in fact, it was this time a year ago that Vrabel said publicly, you know, AJ Brown is going to be on, is going to be on this team as long as I'm head coach. And AJ was on a podcast last week and of course had to talk about the Titans again, but he echoed that, said Vrabel had said that to him directly as well. And he thought that, that was going to be the case. And I think Jeffrey, I would venture a guess that that Mike Vrabel feels exactly the same about Jeffrey Simmons. You know, Denard Rancarthen has talked about how much he values the late round picks and the success they had there in San Francisco with late round picks. Is it you know, how important is it? How worthwhile do you think it could be for the Titans to trade back in, you know, later part of the top 20 or whatever and add some of those guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, wherever you can get them if you can?
You don't want me to bring up Brock Purdy, do you?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll bring him right up. Mr. Irrelevant. But if you look at last year, we were talking about the trade with AJ, and of course that team moved up, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, they got some pretty big shoes to fill. But if you look at, you're only as relevant in this league as your depth. And one thing this team added, and John talked about this last year, not last year, but when we did our podcast about the trade, was the amount of players that they end up receiving from the trade. Think about this. Look at you got Treylon Burks. We saw the flashes when he's healthy. He's going to be one of the best receivers in this league. Not to mention round two, they end up getting Roger McCreary. If that trade didn't happen, then my man, he's not in Nashville. And look at the way that he played last year. And that's with small arms. And then you talk about, look how many games did he start last year, John?
I believe it was every single one.
Every single one of them. Yeah. Not to mention, not round three, you go with the big man, Nicholas Petit-Frere. A great season as a rookie. He held his own. He's only going to get better. But look what happened. Look at round three. You end up getting a quarterback, Malik Willis. Let's go to Hassan Haskins. I mean, you talk, and then let's not mention the most valuable player who should be the offensive rookie of the year, Chig Okonkwo, fourth rounder last year. What happened? Look at all that depth that you added. So you imagine there's no way in the world if I'm Rand, I'm gonna give up all of this, you know, depth that I can add to my team, and not to mention I'm gonna trade the big man for one pick? Are you serious? No, that's just not going to happen. But I think the more you can add, the more value you add to your team.
We're going to talk to Joe Rexroad tomorrow. We're going to fire Joe Rexroad as the
You know what? Let's just say that happens. We're going to be fired right along with him.
You know, Carthen has said also that that he has asked all the assistant coaches on the team to put together like a 15 to 20 snap highlight reel of exactly what they're looking for in guys. And you know, we hear this all the time about scheme fit and what have you. And Denard, I guess I'll ask you first, like how real a thing is that? Like for a cornerback, are there defenses that you would have fit in much better than maybe at other places when you played, for example?
It's a great question, David. It's easy. If I wouldn't have played, if I wouldn't have got drafted by Tennessee, I would have never made it in the National Football League, to be honest with you, because when I went to Tennessee, I ended up finding, or I was placed in a system that it ended up fitting my needs. And what I mean by that is it fit the qualities that I can do well. I was terrible at backpedaling, but I was good at press man. Now, if you go to a place and let's say you struggle at backpedaling, but that's what they want you to do, again, that become a hindrance to a lot of guys. The system, it's all about the system. And you take Tom Brady, David. Do you think that Tom Brady excels if he got, let's say, he went to the Cowboys instead of, let's say, I forgot the team, the Patriots?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I guess it depends on what the Cowboys were doing at the time. That seems like a million years ago when Tom Brady came into the league. But I tend to think Brady would have done okay most places he went.
But do you think he would be the same we would regard him as the GOAT now if he was somewhere else. You know, it's all about the system, David.
Yeah.
I mean, the system is what it can make or break a player. I mean, let's take a look at who's the kid at Carolina who went number three to the Jets a few years out of the University of Southern California. The kid that looked good, 6'3", had all of the talent in the world. And
Sam Darnold,
you know, prime example. Sam Darnold goes to New York. He was supposed to be the savior. It never panned out. Goes to Carolina, never pans out. Look at Baker Mayfield, prime example. It's all about the system. So I was very fortunate to be in a system at Tennessee that fit what I did well, and that's play man coverage. But when I got to Minnesota, everything that I learned from my time at Tennessee and Denver, it went out of the door, and now I started playing coverages that I wasn't used to. So it's all about the system that you're placed in. And so, yeah, it means everything to a player as well as myself.
Yeah, it was funny. I recall it was probably, what was it, 2006, 2007. I remember writing a column one time. The Titans starting cornerbacks at the time were Pac-Man Jones on one side and Ronaldo Hill on the other. And about halfway through that season, I wrote a column where I said, imagine being Jim Schwartz, who was the defensive coordinator at the time, because in Pac-Man Jones, you've got the ultimate man-to-man defender, a guy who's as physically gifted and competitive as there is, and loves to get up in a receiver's grill and just run with him. But you know, he's the kind of guy you can't trust to play his position properly in the zone. Like, he just couldn't help himself. He was just going to go after the ball or where he thought the ball was going. And on the other side, you had Ronaldo Hill, who was a smart guy, not nearly as athletic, not nearly as fluid, but played really well in zone defense, and the interceptions he had made to that point in his career were all because he was in the zone and was able, you know, the quarterback didn't see him, or he was able to bait the quarterback into a throw. And I said, imagine being Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, and knowing that every single play call you make, you're putting one of your starting cornerbacks in an uncomfortable position. And, I remember thinking that when it was done, I thought that was pretty good. I like that. I think it's kind of an interesting take. And about 2 days later, as the coaches and players are coming out on the practice field, Schwartz comes up behind me. He's like, Beauclair, you got a microphone in my office or something? And, you know, it startled me because you never knew with Jim Schwartz. Like, he could, you know, he could get angry at the darndest things. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, are you listening to all my conversations? And I'm like, what are you talking? I didn't know what he says, that piece you wrote about the cornerbacks. He said, I have that conversation in my office every single day with my staff. He said, and I thought, well, that, you know, good for me. I got that one right. You know, that was one of the rare occasions where a coach will tell you got it right, but you know, because mostly that they just tell you we don't read. Yeah, I don't read anything. Somebody just told me this, but
that was back when he spoke to media members.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, John, I'll ask you this. You know, you've got a new tight ends coach in Tony Dews. You've got a new offensive line coach. You've got a new offensive coordinator. How important do you think this is? You know, this approach of these guys, you know, detailing what they want, and should we? I guess we discount the idea. Well, it's the best available athlete when the Titans are drafting, because the best available athlete might not fit what these guys want to do, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You know, and teams always say that you take the best player available. Doesn't matter for the position, which of course is ridiculous. That's not the case. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. If they're needy, they take players that they need. But I think it's a great approach from Rand Carthen, you know, who was certainly involved in the scouting process in San Francisco. And you know, from what we hear and from what Rand Carthen has said, you know, kind of he and some of the other front office types and the scouts, you know, basically ran the last few rounds of the draft. And so he's got some pretty good ideas on, you know, what teams need, what coaches need. But this is an ideal thing for a new general manager. A, he's going to sit down with every single one of those assistant coaches and get that 15 to 20 snap highlight reel. You know, so he's not only you know, learning what each coach is like, you know, what he wants, but you know, what type of player excels for that coach, what type of player excels in that system. So as a result, you know, you're less likely, I think, to wind up in those situations of the square peg and the round hole or vice versa. And it seemed like sometimes, you know, especially the last few years and with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, it seems like you did have those kind of situations where clearly the GM and you know, some of his people were excited about moving up to get a guy, you know, and that guy just didn't really pan out. You know, the coaching staff clearly wasn't as much on board with the player as the front office had been. So great idea. I had not heard of any GM doing that. Maybe this is common, but I hadn't heard of any GM doing that in the past. So interesting and I think innovative approach by Rand Carthen, sitting down with each of those coaches and getting the highlight reel. And, you know, hopefully as far as the Titans are concerned, that that kind of gives them closer to exactly the type of player that they are looking for.
Yeah, another story real quickly from back in the day was 2003. I will never forget also going into the third day of the draft. We're all out in the media room, the media workroom there, getting ready to start the third day of the draft. And then defensive line coach Jim Washburn comes in to get a soda and stops to chat a little bit. And somebody pointed out to him, they said, well, Wash, you know, Ryan Long, who's the Outland Trophy winner, is still available. You know, maybe, you know, you guys got an early pick here on day three. Maybe that's a guy for you. And Wash goes, we better not get that guy. He's like, I cannot stand him. I don't think he's a hard worker. This, that, that. He went off and sure enough, the Titans picked Ryan Long in the fourth round. And Washburn had inadvertently given us all an off the record angle that we, you know, tried to subtly work into stories. And, you know, Long ultimately had his moments over a brief career with the Titans. I think those two ultimately worked it out just fine. But I guess there's no danger of that sort of thing happening on Rand Carthen's watch if this thing goes as expected. An interesting development too this week from the NFL Players Association, who apparently did a lengthy survey with the players, and more than 1,300 of them, I think the number was, responded about their thoughts on their teams and their working environment and the coaching staffs, the training staffs, that sort of thing. And the idea is sort of, I guess, to put pressure on teams to do better. And the Titans came in basically in the middle of the pack, ranked 18th overall in the NFL with a B minus. Mike Vrabel got some love and was one of the highest ranked, most popular coaches in the league. Where the Titans came up short is their travel. I guess they are one of the few teams that makes young players pair up in hotel rooms. They're one of the few teams that doesn't have first class seats throughout the plane. Players have to work their way through coach style seats, whatever. Donato, I want to ask you, you know, you were with the Titans in 97 and 98 when you were training in Bellevue and in a temporary locker room with trailers as meeting rooms and whatnot, and then, you know, 1999, you move into the training facility in Metro Center. You move into Nissan Stadium, which at the time was the Coliseum. And you guys take off in 1999, 13-3, go to the Super Bowl, the whole thing. And the impression was that having those kinds of facilities and that kind of support and everything made a big difference. And so I guess the question is, how much of a difference did that sort of stuff make, and how important is it to the success of teams even in this day and age now?
Oh, David, it was like night and day. It finally felt like professional football. 97 and 98, I mean, we worked out of a trailer for 2 years. It smelled, it reeked. It had a rancid smell every morning. We were next door to a women's fraternity. Was it a women's clinic? Majority of those women were getting ready to have babies. And the only thing that separated us was a door that they kept locked. And then not to mention the uniforms, we wore those same uniforms, the white on white, pretty much 16 weeks. And not to mention, we were in a plane pretty much the first year, every game for 16 weeks. We didn't have a home field. We played in Memphis. And then the second year we played at Vanderbilt, which was not any better. And so what happened was in 99, when we got the new stadium, it really galvanized the guys in the locker room, not to mention when we moved into the facility, it looked like what you envision what professional football should look like. It was first class. And when you have what I call a great organization, they put a lot of money into just the little things. We're talking about the nutrition. We're talking about the weight room. David, the weight room, John, that we had when I played the first 2 years, it was in a little room. There was a couple bench presses and a squat rack. And I love Steve Waterston to death, but I mean, we have off season was a big old field in the back where they converted into some football fields. So it wasn't, it was more like we were being tortured for 2 years. And then the next 2 years, then after that, we just took off because it makes the world a difference. You're only as good as your surroundings. You know, if you're around bad things, you kind of get bad results. And what Tennessee did the last 2 years that I was there is everything was first class. And that really what allowed that team to take off for a long time.
And finally here, we would be remiss if we didn't address the cuts that we mentioned at the top of the show. Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, Randy Bullock. John, I think we discussed all of those guys to some degree in recent weeks. Was there one that surprised you more than the others among that group?
Well, real quick, I just wanted to touch on Denard about some of those early years.
You're a politician with your talking points here. You got to get to your talking
points. That's right, exactly. No, I can just remember one plan out of that, or you know, practicing with the trailer there as your home base for practices and so forth. And if I remember correctly, there was actually like a little bit of a hole in one of the trailer floors, and some of the players eventually could look down there and see underneath there was a bird nesting not far underneath the trailer. So that was kind of one of the things that they were able to sort of keep their eye on as the season progressed. One of the unintentional added benefits, I guess, of having a trailer as your home locker, basically. But anyway, onto the cuts. No, I wasn't surprised by any of the four big cuts that they made. Obviously Lewan was the clearest because there was almost $15 million saved and zero dead money as well. So that was a gimme. There were two sort of dead money situations. Robert Woods, you know, they're going to have to hold on to $2.6 million. And Zach Cunningham, $4.5 million. But still, when you cut both those guys, you're opening up about $21 million worth of space. So it still makes it worth it. The big question to me is, does Bud Dupree get added to the group? And I would have thought it would have happened by now. But Jason Fitzgerald, Over the Cap, does a great job with that website. He tweeted that Bud Dupree has something, a partial salary guarantee in his contract, which means the Titans basically have to wait until the start of the new league year on March 15th to release him. So that's something to keep our eye on there, that Bud Dupree might be cut just a little bit later than what we might have thought.
Yeah, and you know, the Titans didn't have to make those moves when they did, but I think they were so obvious, I guess, in a lot of ways, and Rand Carthen going ahead and just sending guys on their way and wishing them luck. I Robert Woods is the one guy to me though in that group that you say, well, can probably still play some good football if you make the right moves. That's a guy who could have a role on this team, given the shortage of wide receivers that they had last year. You know, you're just adding to the need there to get that position fixed and get it fixed right. But that's that's obviously coming in free agency and the draft, and that is one of those things we will watch closely in the next couple of weeks. But that will do it for this episode of Believe in Titans. Denard Walker, as always, thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Janon Glennon. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
And I am David Beauclair. Again, thank you, everybody out there, for listening to Believe in Titans, brought to you by Bet Online.